join me in welcoming our 10-minute speaker, Kathy C.
That's humility right there. Happy alcoholic. So I'm going to start by reading a little bit out of chapter 3, a little bit as in two sentences, just to settle me down and maybe get our heads in the space. The idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. The persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursue it into the gates of death. Well, insanity and death. Well, that's about it for me. hello familiar faces, and hello some new people familiar faces. Yes, I'm looking over there. God, how lucky we are to be here tonight sober, most of us. Some of you may not be, but that's okay. Welcome. So I came in on March 19th, 2011. I'd like to tell you March 18th, 2011 was horrible. But it wasn't. It was just another drunk day for me. But something had changed for me. You know, my husband a year or two before had threatened divorce. Whatever. He was so in my way. He didn't understand my situation. I did have a problem. I had situations, and a lot of situations were getting pretty bad. I was a late drinker. I had relatives who drank, and we talked about them at Thanksgiving. Boy, did we talk about how they didn't show up, they drank too much, all at the wrong times, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, I probably was obsessed about watching what they're doing because I knew I too wasn't having, I couldn't stop drinking. So I started late, I got educated, I did stuff. But there's always that thought of why is everybody else drinking? My obsession was there from the minute. You know, I watched other people drink. I could tell you right away who at that table over there at the 4 o'clock has already had 7 glasses, or he's only on a second table, or why isn't she drinking over there in the corner? I watched everyone and obsessed. And then, you know, I had girlfriends, we had kids, and we drank, and we wind down and geared up on the weekends, and then we did barbecues. And before I knew it, make the short of it, I started out drinking my husband, and he stopped participating in my weekend endeavors, which then became Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then became, I'm going to divorce. So that's the reality of this thing, always worse, never better. You know, I'd like to say, well, is that true? Because, you know, I'm kind of stubborn, and, you know, I look pretty successful. I had all the bells and whistles. I had the dogs, the cars, blah, 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 blah. But if I had one more friend that said, oh, that's so sad, I feel so bad for you, I'd be dead. Luckily, my husband was no longer that friend. He was so afraid. Oh, my God, he was so done with me. And the truth is, we're such selfish people that I probably wouldn't have even put up with him. How dare he do that to me? But again, it was just such a misunderstanding. If he had problems like me, he would drink like me. I just needed to get on top of this, don't you see? So all the self-help books from the side of my bed, all the this, all the that, whatever. So what happened on the 18th, what was different is I had had a pretty, let me just back up. My mom passed away, which is terribly sad. I'm not saying it wasn't. She was truly my best friend. But what happened is everybody gave me a pass for being who I was, and I drank. So I had a year of all of that. I was showing up in my worst. And my kids were talking to me. My husband was rightfully going to take the kids and divorce me. And he should have. I was a drunk. I was 24/7, middle of the night, driving in the morning, trying to get a drink down me just to figure it out. Anyway, that day, one night before I came in, I looked in the mirror. It's the first time in a couple of days I wasn't showered. I looked like a weight of a 90-pound nothing. And I noticed I was like, where the hell did I go? Like, I looked in the mirror, and I'm being dramatic, but we all have a moment that we didn't expect, and also it's like, bam, like, what the F? Am I allowed to say any words in here? I don't know. I'll be good. So, but, you know, that moment of clarity came to me. So, anyway, grace of God called an aha moment. My husband came home, which he wasn't doing, and said, what the hell are you doing in the bathroom? So I was just staring at the mirror, like, and I said, I'm done. I'm so done. I suddenly was a little bit more afraid of drinking again than I was of never drinking again. And man almighty, did my life rocket through the fourth dimension slowly, ever so slowly, but I'd like to say it like it was amazing and fast. It really wasn't, but I knew I was dead. So without realizing that I had taken the first step. So I started going to meetings, and I really thought you guys did need help, but I was still in a situation. I just need to figure it out because you guys were kind of messed up. Like, we are not a bed of good mental health, so let's just start with there. And, you know, I was just baffled. I didn't know if I wanted what you had. I just wanted it to go back to, like, 10 years ago, you know, back in the day. And, but I liked the women I was meeting. They were kind to me. They were different than me, but they talked like I thought. And nobody around me would, nobody was. I mean, everybody was proper around me. They never talked crap like I needed to hear. And people would say things like, you're going to die. You're not listening. Stop talking. You know, shut up. Sit down. Pay attention. You're your problem. They aren't your problem. Put someone sorry for yourself. All those things. I go to the car and I sniff on. I go, oh, they're so mean, that was so terrible. But I'd want to go back because I could breathe, you know. And so I just kept going back for 4 or 5 months. And then I kind of thought, well, you know, I've never been in a place where they're so honest. And we do have really sick sense of humor, and I appreciated that. We're so, like, weird. And so I kept going back, and I picked a sponsor because I had heard the difference from those who are chucking and driving and high-fiving and acting like they're, you know, what doesn't smell. The difference between them and those whose lives were getting better is they had a sponsor and they read the book. So I did that. I asked a gal to be my sponsor, and she said yes. And I said, what now? And she said, how soon do you want to feel better? I was like, last year would have been really awesome. And she said, let's meet this week. And I went through the steps pretty quick. As quick as I honestly could, the best that I could at the time. More will be revealed, and I worked through it as it, you know, as I got to that. And then she said, at the end of my 12th step, go help someone else, or else, you know, we will drink again. If we do not help others and get the hell out of our heads, we will go back to what we know, and that is self-pity, selfishness, self-centeredness. And it's true, you know, anybody who has sobriety and is working the program but has a week or two of just, like, not feeling it, not working it, not wanting to be here, we do get edgy. And so what do? We get our heads back in the game, we go to meetings, and we remind ourselves, life is so much better. I found a God in here. I was raised with religion, not really spirituality, and I think somebody had said to me in a meeting, not to me, but I was listening, the difference between spirituality and religion is religion, you're afraid of hell, and spirituality, you think you might have been there. And boy, did that make sense to me. I didn't want me back. I didn't want her back. I was just not available. I wasn't present. So many things changed. And, you know, I don't want to use up more time because we have a great speaker coming around the corner. And so, you know, I help other women. I see women come in. I'm a big believer women help women. I don't know. I can't really see who's out there. But if you're a gal and some guy thinks he's your new best friend, get the hell away from him. Find women. Women will help women. That's how it works. We will keep you safe until you know how to be safe. Anyway, that was just like this. There it is. Anyway, I show up today. I'm present. You know, I don't have a situation with alcohol. I had a problem. I was an alcoholic. I am an alcoholic, but I stayed spiritually fit and recovered. And real quick, I just have two things I want to say, then I'm going to get the heck out of here. There's a man who helped me a lot. He's Crusty Dave. A lot of us know him. Boy, he's a pistol and a whip. But man, he's made me cry more than anybody, and he has told me the truth always. And he has this saying that says, when we sober up and we get spiritually fit, we will have clear eyes, clean breath, and steady hands. And sometimes it's just enough. That's all we need. That is enough. So today, trust God. Give it to God. Give it to us. We'll let you borrow our God. Clean house. Get that crap out, all those secrets, dirty little secrets that keep you drunk, and then help others. And that's how it works. It's really quite simple. So thank you. That's it. I'm out of here.
I give Kathy another round of applause.